Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
We have such a wonderful, wonderful lesson this morning. We're wrapping up today a mini-series titled God is Our Refuge, and today's final installment in that mini-series is Our Burden Bearer. That's the title of our lesson this morning. And so I'd like to ask you to turn with me to Psalm 55, and we're reading there verse 22. Psalm 55 and reading verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And then we'll be reading more from Psalm 55 later, but we'll also be taking some lesson points from 2 Samuel. But I'd like to also read from the New Testament, from 1 Peter chapter 5, and reading there the 7th verse. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, and this is a New Testament reference to the same kind of concept that we just read in the Psalms. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Our burden bearer. Let's pray as we get ready to go into our lesson. Help us, Lord, by your power. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, strengthen us, Lord, in our understanding of your love for us, and help us, Lord, to trust in that love and to find our refuge in that love. God, we need your help, Lord, and we need your touch in our lives. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your touch and for the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Each one of these lessons in this mini-series has a what we call the big idea of the lesson, and also a truth about God that we are focusing on. And the big idea is that I will cast my cares upon the Lord. And the truth about God is related to that, and that is that God will bear the burdens that we surrender to him. And this lesson is, I found it particularly a blessing in studying it in order to bring this lesson to you this morning, and I trust that it will be a blessing to you also. Real quickly, just to go through the outline of what we'll be going over today, we have only two main points, and the first one is about Ahithophel's counsel and betrayal. You remember when Absalom rose in rebellion against his father, David. David's trusted counselor, Ahithophel, betrayed David and left to go be with the rebellious son instead. And this is really, I mean, there's a reason why this is one of the two main points. How many of y'all have ever suffered betrayal in your life? It's one of the most painful things that a person can have to deal with. And that leads us to our second main point, which is God will bear, he will carry the burdens that we surrender to him. There are five sub-points under the first portion about Ahithophel's counsel and betrayal. Those points are: Absalom sought to kill his father, Hushai sent a warning to David, thank God for Hushai, David and his men escaped, David's burden of betrayal and his son's revenge. And then this realization is the final point. I cannot always control what happens to me. And then we have these four subpoints under the second portion of the lesson about God bearing the burdens that we surrender to him. And they are: listen to my prayer, O God, David's lament, cast your burden on the Lord, and then finally the determination, I will cast my cares upon the Lord. One minister told of his experience as he and his wife endeavored to reopen and reestablish a church that had been shut down for about a year. They went to a university town, and the church property was in shambles. It was in such a sad state that the power company refused to turn on the electricity, except they were willing to light up a single utility pole just so that he could have some power to do repairs on the building. And the only job he could find in that university town, a typical college town, was a minimum wage job. And so he and his wife added their meager income in one column and their minimal expenses in another column, and the expenses outweighed the income. Still, somehow, they never missed paying a bill, and they never went without necessities. There was one Friday night that they did not have enough money to put gas in the car to go to a sectional rally. So instead, they just went window shopping at a local mall. Now, of course, they were only looking because they didn't have any means to buy anything. But while they were at that mall, that minister just happened to stick his hand into the pocket of his suit coat, and he discovered a $20 bill in that pocket. And he had absolutely no idea who had placed it there or when. So they decided to use that $20 to put gas in the car, to travel to the sectional rally to get inspiration and encouragement. And while they were at that sectional rally, the minister shook the hand of another pastor. And that other pastor palmed a $50 bill into his hand while he was shaking his hand. And the minister said this: God was demonstrating his desire and his ability to care for us. And then recently, that same minister was suffering through one health crisis after another in the midst of a really roller coaster year. His parents had to be placed into a nursing home, and there at the nursing home, his father fell and broke his hip. And early in the year, the minister traveled to the town where his father was going through rehab and drove his father back to the nursing home. And only a month later, the minister himself was suffering severe seasonal allergies during the COVID pandemic. And he was finally able to get kind of a measure of medical assistance, but the condition didn't completely disappear. And ultimately, he was diagnosed with severe asthma and given medication to mitigate that. And then shortly after that, he contracted the coronavirus. And then a month later, he suffered. He had already had a detached retina 2 years previously. And a month after contracting COVID, he suffered a second detached retina. And so this man cried out in a complaint to God. And in the midst of seemingly unending suffering, and he recounted all that he was doing for God's kingdom. And he said that God didn't seem to be impressed by that or moved by that. And he said the Lord just simply reminded him of the many times that he had provided over the years past. And the man was then ashamed of himself for doubting the Lord and for his complaining attitude. And the man realized afresh and anew that part of the key to dealing with your present adversities is in looking to the Lord's ever-present care for you in the past. And through, in the moment, maintaining an absolute faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for your present situation. Jesus really does care for his people. And he alone is the reliable burden bearer for us. I want to take you back to this passage in 2 Samuel. You can find it in 2 Samuel chapter 17 from about verse 15 up through verse 22. First of all, we'll start off with the fact that Absalom sought to kill his father. I want to pause here before I get into this and mention to you something that's kind of doctrinal, but it's important. There are many doctrines that are there for reasons beyond our own personal experience at the moment, but some doctrines really come into play in our personal struggles. And I want to invite you to consider this if you haven't. And I may have mentioned this before, perhaps. It's related to the fact that over the years, many times I heard Brother Billy Cole say, the Bible never, ever once tells you to humble your brother. It tells you to humble yourself. Okay? And then Brother Billy Cole would go on to say, and my goodness, I miss him so much. What a precious man of God. And heaven really gained and we really lost when he went on. He would go on to say this, every time you try to humble your brother, you will only succeed in humiliating him. And so the Bible does not say humble your brother before God. It says humble yourself before God. Now, I'd like to ask you to borrow from that concept and take it into the realm of the concept of dealing with bitterness, okay? In people who have like maybe a mental problem, are they delusions or something, you could have bitterness that has absolutely no cause, an imagined cause. But usually people aren't mentally ill, they're not delusional, and when they struggle with bitterness, it's because there's a cause. And because of that cause, they're bitter. All right? Now, think about this. Can you think of any scripture that tells you to cast bitterness out of your brother? Can you think of a single scripture that tells you to rebuke bitterness in your brother? The Bible encourages you to lay aside your own bitterness, but doesn't empower you to do anything to cast it out of someone else. But have you thought about this? Remember that one famous passage about bitterness that talks about lifting up the hands that hang down and making straight the feeble knees, lest anyone become bitter? Have you ever asked yourself, what does that mean? Straightening the hands that hang down, making straight the feeble knees, what does that mean? And if you research it, and I have, Bible scholars recognize that there seems to be very likely a twofold understanding there. Part of that seems to be involved in that concept of you trying to shed yourself of your bitterness, taking steps, but they say that they cannot discount from it. They cannot subtract from it or pretend this isn't there. There is an element there that basically refers to making right the injustice that caused the bitterness, giving attention where it was due and where it was not given. Okay? So when I read that, I think about a handicapped person who needed help and they didn't get any help. And then there was bitterness because they didn't get any help. So if you go to help that person, really think about it, you're kind of lifting up the hand that hangs down and you're making straight the feeble knee. Okay? And my interpretation of that is it's about a whole lot more than just giving help to a disabled person. That's kind of like a metaphor. It basically means if there is an injustice that has gone unaddressed, if it doesn't get some attention, the likely outcome will be bitterness. And when that bitterness, it's kind of like sin when it is finished brings forth death. Bitterness when it is finished brings forth a detriment, kind of a poisoning of a lot of people. Usually a lot more than just the one who was done wrong and was bitter because of being done wrong. Okay? So I'd like for you just kind of hold that in your thought patterns as we head into the why behind Absalom's rebellion. Absalom didn't just wake up one day and say, I want to be evil, you know, dark side and all of that. There's a backstory to how he got bitter, how he came to despise his own father. All right? So Absalom was the rebellious son of King David. King David, the beloved king of Israel. And Absalom had a half-brother named Amnon. And Amnon had a kind of an unholy lusting for one of his family members, a woman by the name of Tamar. And Amnon raped Tamar. And Absalom stood by waiting for David to give justice. He waited for David to take action. And David was heartbroken that it happened, but he was trying to be compassionate, and he didn't take the action that Absalom felt should be taken. Remember what I said about how injustices can cause bitterness? So in this case, Tamar was due some justice. She was due some action from the king, from the patriarch of their family, and she wasn't getting it. And Amnon was due some punishment. He was due some justice, and he wasn't getting it. And this lack of giving the needed justice served as a fuel of fire in Absalom's soul. And this is how Absalom became so angry with his father. And so when David failed to deal with the horrendous behavior of Amnon, Absalom began to plot revenge against his brother. And when Amnon was drinking wine, and the implication is that he was probably impaired from being inebriated, Absalom ordered his servants to kill Amnon. And at that, he took justice into his own hands, what we might call vigilante justice. And as a result of the fallout from that, Absalom went into exile at a place called Geshur. You can read about this in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 38. And he was in exile there for 3 years. Now, eventually, David allowed Absalom to return home, although even after coming home, they still didn't see each other for 2 more years, okay? Now, I've known people that got their head screwed on wrong, stinking thinking, after just missing 2 church services. What kind of stinking thinking do you think you could get after not seeing your own father for 5 years? Okay, and you can read about this separation, the additional 2 years, in 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 28. So Absalom then, after 5 years, is finally reunited with his father. But it is a reunion that is destined for trouble. Okay, remember that passage in the New Testament that I made reference to, lest any root of bitterness springing up, and thereby many be defiled. When there's an injustice that serves as a cause for bitterness, it affects a whole lot more than just the person who got dealt the injustice and suffered the bitterness. In fact, many times, some of the greatest detriment is not that they're suffering in bitterness. It's that other people around them are angry and bitter that they are not getting justice. And then those people can take actions, okay? And I think this is the root of the New Testament statement, and thereby many be defiled, okay? So as someone who has personally dealt with bitterness, and any of us could be dealing with it even right now today, can I plead with you that if you have been dealt an injustice, if you have been wronged, if you've been mistreated, and you're struggling to get through that, and you're trying to get God's help to get through that, please, for the love of the kingdom and for the love of God, for the love of your family and your church, don't go gossiping around about how you've been done wrong. Because everyone, and you could be really clearly the victim, really clearly done wrong, like Tamar was done wrong. You could really be just absolutely no question. You are the innocent victim, and it is wrong, and they are guilty, and they're going to have to answer to God. But here's the thing. If you don't, If you don't give that burden of that injustice to God and trust God to deal with the perpetrator, and you go gossiping, and you go convincing people of what happened and why you're right and they're wrong, you can wind up in this situation with, thereby many be defiled. Okay? So I think I could safely say this. Bitterness is a natural byproduct of being done wrong. And many people in the Christian world are obsessed with focusing on the wrongness of the bitterness, when the bitterness itself had a legitimate cause. And that legitimate cause is actually the wrong that needs some attention, okay? People make this kind of mistake about misplaced wrath and misplaced judgment often, okay? Now, I'm gonna try to carefully approach a sensitive subject, okay? It's already been mentioned in the lesson, okay? Amnon raped Tamar, okay? So, again, it's a sensitive subject. I want to be careful. Why is it that when someone suffers rape and it results in a pregnancy, there is all this wrath for the innocent baby? Why is there not wrath for the rapist? What did the innocent baby do to deserve to be killed? What is up with the, this guy does a crime, so we issue a death warrant to this innocent person who had nothing to do with the crime? And I want to tell you that when people are hurting, they're kind of like an angry soldier who loads his gun and just closes his eyes and just starts firing his gun, not caring who he hits, okay? And so I want to encourage you that if there's an injustice that you see happening, be very careful. Be very careful. So bitterness is something that can be detrimental and is kind of almost sure, if it's not dealt with in a decently timely fashion, it can be and likely will be kind of self-detrimental to the person who has the injustice done that is bitter. But because of the whole thing of we care for each other, we're looking out for each other, we're kind of aware of the injustices that each other are suffering. If we're not careful, an injustice to one that naturally would result in bitterness in the one for them to have to deal with, that can wind up being a thing that infects the hearts of others. And I think this is the root of this New Testament mention, and thereby many be defiled. It's an interesting word, isn't it? Defiled. Defiled. And so again, I think that there have been instances when well-meaning Christians have observed bitterness in someone, and instead of thinking, there's a root cause, let's find the root cause, let's fix the root cause, they lambast and rebuke the person they see the bitterness in as though they're the one that sinned, when in reality, the injustice that was done was the sin. And so, don't you think it's interesting? You can't find a single verse that says rebuke bitterness, but you can find a verse that says take action to undo the wrong that was done that resulted in the bitterness. How many of y'all have ever been done wrong, and while you were fighting your way through the bitterness, had someone rebuke you for feeling bad about how you were done wrong? Doesn't that really gall you? Wait a minute. Okay, I was done wrong, and you're blaming me for feeling bad about the fact that I was done wrong? How about something focused on the perpetrator over here? Why is the victim being blamed? Okay. Bitterness is something we all have to deal with, and it is worthy of our sincerest study and our best efforts to deal with it properly. And I think in many cases, now in some cases, you just have the strength, you just have the fortitude to just suffer yourself to be defrauded, just put it away, forget about it, and move on. And if you're that strong in your life at that point, praise the Lord, God bless you. But I think sometimes when we're really hurt bad, when the betrayal was like from a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter or a beloved pastor, we were done wrong by someone, not some enemy, some unsaved heathen. We were done wrong by a fellow believer. Okay, what's the scripture say? It's a messianic prophetic passage. It says that they're going to ask him, "What are these wounds in you? What are these wounds in your hands?" And he will say, "These are the wounds wherewith I was wounded in the house of my friends." Okay, sometimes when we are done wrong, it is too much for us to just get past it. And this becomes an instance when you have a burden, you are carrying a burden, and you need to give that burden to the burden bearer. Through prayer and crying out to God, you can find a way to get God to carry that instead of you carrying it. Because if you carry it, it'll wind up killing you, okay? This is really kind of a frustrating thing about human nature. And I guess I might say it's a frustrating thing about fallen human nature, okay? If you ask anybody who is an expert who has done study in this, they will tell you there is a phenomenon. There's a phenomenon in which the abused child blames themselves and the abused wife blames herself. And in some weird thing, the raped woman feels guilt. She didn't do it. The rapist did it. Why does she feel guilty? This is one of these counterintuitive things about human nature, that the victim feels shame and struggles with completely unwarranted and strange concepts of guilt. Why would the abused wife, why would the abused child, why would the abused victim in the sexual molestation case, why do they feel shame and guilt? Why is this? And so it bears repeating that you can wind up being dealt some blows, that the only way you're going to get past that is to learn how to give that burden to the Lord. And so Absalom is reunited with his father, but things aren't right. they're seeing each other again, but things aren't right. Absalom's heart, it's wrong, wrong, all wrong. And to a certain point, you can understand why somebody feels like they do. But when you start taking steps like Absalom took, then you have taken the concept for trying to make right a wrong, you've taken it in a wrong direction, and you cross a line. And so Absalom began to gain influence. And this wasn't just an accident. He sought it. He courted people's hearts. He stole hearts away from his father. He stole loyalties of men. He was clever. He knew how to talk. And it was kind of like a dirty political campaign. You know, he would sit there in the gate of the city and say, "Well, I'll tell you what, if I was in charge, I'd take care of how you're being done wrong there." And to this day, this type of undermining legitimate authority and wooing people away, and this happens in churches a lot. You'll see someone who is trusted, someone who is entrusted.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.